in review, Pastor's been talking about deep end. Some of the key points that he said was faith is a substance. Remember that? Faith is a substance that makes tangible things. So the Bible says that we should mix faith, right? And when we hear the word, we mix it with faith. Amen. And we can see a manifestation of God. He also said we are to ask when we pray to manifest my prepared thing. That faith actually is the substance that when we believe in something and mix with hope, it actually prepares something. It actually brings something out of the supernatural into the natural, right? I'm just reviewing. It says, use your faith to pull things through the veil. And he said, do it by faith. So there's a veil from the natural, the things that we can see and touch, and the things that we cannot see and touch. The Bible says that the things that are made that we could see are made by things that are unseen. So he said to call those things that be not as though they were, as though they were, because they already exist. Ah, in the unseen world. Oh, let me slow down. Let me slow down. We're going to get there. I hear your Holy Spirit. I'm excited. So when we see that, by faith, we can pull those things through the veil. Amen. When I was believing for my son, I pulled him through the veil. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis, he created man and woman. And when he created man and woman, he created them all in that one scripture, that first scripture there. And then when it was their time, a body was formed so that they could come into this world by the spirit. So the spirit realm connected with the natural realm. But I was believing for a son. Say a son. So when I was believing for a son, I prayed for a son. I was acting in faith. I looked and I turned around in the back of my car and I talked to my son. You may think I'm crazy, but that's what faith does, right? The pastor said faith is unapologetic, right? And I believed God. I said, God, I'm going to have a son. And I would talk to my son. Son, what do you want? You want the basketball? You want the football? What you want to do? We're going to go over here. We're going to have hamburgers. He needs one too. Y'all think I'm playing. We had a baby shower. I don't know if the person is here, but if you are, don't say nothing. I think they're gone. I don't think they're here. But we had a baby shower, and I didn't know. We didn't do the, the sonogram or whatever. I didn't want to know because I already knew that it was a boy. And by faith, I was believing that. And so when I was believing for that, I said, God, I'm going to have a baby shower, and everything's going to be blue. So I said, everybody who's going to come to the baby shower, bring something for a boy and bring it blue. So there was one person that came with some mixed colored stuff. True story. Came with some mixed colored stuff. And she brought it in and she says, oh, here, I'm coming to bring this. I said, what is that? I stopped her at the door. I was a young, very young, exuberant husband. And I stopped her at the door and I said, what is that? That looked like a girl's thing. We believe for boys around here. Everybody with boy faith is inside this side of the door. And she said, well, just in case if it is a girl, you might have something that it's a girl. I said, stop. I said, you know, I love you and everything like that, but everybody in this party is believing for a boy. So you're not in agreement, so I can't have you come. Thank you for coming, you know, and see you later. I love you with the love of the Lord. Peace out. True story. She left. And then we ended up having a boy. The God brought me a boy. Amen. The son that I wanted. Amen. And so it's important to understand that you can pull things out of the supernatural, things out of the unseen realm into the realm. I'm not even in the message. I'm just in a review. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. This is review, right? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, right? We never knew that this church could look like this. We never knew that the Future Center could look like that. Because Future Center used to look like a warehouse. Somebody say amen in this house. It was a concrete floor and some poles, right? Somebody had a carpet and they threw it in the middle of the room. And that's what kept us warm, right, Charles? Right? And we had church in there with Sunday school and everything like that, right? But it was an empty room. But we had to walk in. We walked in there. We walked in that room. We walked in the walls. We touched the walls and we prayed in the spirit. Tuesday mornings, we would go in there and just pray and walk around there until we saw a manifestation of the Future Center. And now look at it. That was pulled out of the unseen world into the natural world. We called it in existence. We got an agreement and we believed by faith. And then we put something on it because faith without works is dead. Somebody say amen. So we put some work on it. That's anybody got a job? That's work. When you put money on, you putting work on it. Oh, see, okay. I'll slow down. I'm moving too fast. Review. They need, he said, we need inconsiderate faith. Pastor says some of our faith is too polite. Faith did not consider it. Abraham's and Sarah's age. Abraham did not consider their age. You know, he didn't consider Sarah's room. He was like, okay, God said I can have a child. All right, let's go. Sarah was the one tripping. Sarah was like, kind of like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I can, I don't know. She said, why are you laughing? She said, why are you laughing? You know, you finna have a child, right? And she was like, oh, I don't know. Well, go in Hagar. Here's the handmaid. Go into her. And Abraham was like, hey, God said I can have a child. I'm having a child. But it wasn't the child that God wanted. He wanted through Sarah, right? And so the only son that he really recognized was Isaac, which came through Sarah. That's why he called Isaac his only begotten son. Ishmael didn't count. Some of us is producing Ishmaels on our own strength. Watch out. Okay, still in review. All right. You must remain in hope when you were helpless. You must remain in hope when you were helpless. There's situations that I got a testimony I'm going to end this with tonight if I get a chance to get to it. I'm going to be like Joshua. Joshua, give me Joshua's faith. Lord, give me Joshua. Stop time. Just hold it. Breaks. Okay. Your hope makes a way for the way maker. Pastor Jaron said, your hope makes a way for the way maker. So when we have hope in what God can do for us, that opens the door for God to come into us to do what he has to do for us. Amen. And he says, we must identify enemies of your faith. What was one of the greatest enemies against your faith? A bad report. Just like that lady came in with the mixed colored blanket. She was bad report. That didn't say, boy, you get out of here with that. I probably wouldn't do that now. But back then, boy, I was on, don't mess with me. I was on fire for the Lord. Amen. So that's what he talked about. We're going to go ahead and move forward. And we're going to get into the deep end and the great faith as Pastor told me to do. So I'm going to obey the Lord. Is that all right? Is it okay? Amen. All right. So he said, going to the deep. Have you ever been in the pool and you didn't know how to swim that well, right? So what side of the pool were you in? Shallow end, right? You was in the shallow end. I remember I learned how to swim at, it depends on where you at. I could tell when people were living a certain time frame in Inglewood because they called this park a certain thing depending upon what time frame they lived there. And so when I lived there, it was called Sportsman Park. Right? Y'all remember Sportsman Park? But now they call it Jesse Owens Park. It's Jesse Owens Park now, I guess. But when I was there, I was a little kid, it was called Sportsman Park. And they had this big pool in there, right? And they had the windows, the doors, or the walls, and you can go in there and swim. Big Olympic pool. Big old diving board. Still there, huh? By the big old telephone wires, huh? All that. See, so y'all see, they verifying me over there. They verifying me. Okay, it's for verification. All right, so I learned how to swim in that pool, and I had a weird motivation. My brother was a lifeguard, and my motivation was so that my eyes would stop burning. I'm going to let y'all think about that for a second. Okay, and the reason why my eyes was burning is because some of the kids in the shallow end was going to the bathroom in the shallow end. So you would be swimming, and all of a sudden, boom, you hit the cloud. Oh, what's that? Hey, I'm talking about the hood. Okay, this is Inglewood, okay? Inglewood, right? And so I was like, okay, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need to get out of this atmosphere. This is not the atmosphere for me to be in. This is not healthy. I'm not, no. And so I learned how to swim, but I had to go to the deep end. Stay with me. Don't nobody jump off the bus. We all going to get there at the same time, all right? If you start to fall off, we're going to pull you back in. So I had to go to the deep end. And then there was always a call. There was always a certain kid that was flipping and jumping off of the high thing, right? When you went to the pools, it was always somebody doing backflips and stuff. And he could swim or she could swim and they could just swim. And you'd be looking at them and you couldn't swim. You'd be like, dang, I want to swim like them. Dang. They having fun. Look at that guy. All the space over there. They ain't crowded. I bet you their eyes ain't burning. Right? And so, I got to this point and I said, man, I'm gonna learn how to swim. So I started learning how to swim. And one of the things that I first learned was how to float. How many know how to float? Okay, what you got to do when you float? You can't be anxious when you float, right? You got to relax. You got to lay back. And you got to look up. And then automatically your body starts floating. Isn't that something? But when you get excited and you're just like, oh, no, but the water's in my eye. Don't get my hair wet. Come on, watch out now. I just got this perm. Come on, man. Don't mess up my tracks, man. And you have to lay back and you have to relax. You have to relax. And when you relax, the point when relax and peace and your anxiety leaves is the exact same time you start floating. Oh, come on with me. Come with me. Come on. I'm tricking y'all. Y'all don't even know it. And so I started to do that. And so I was doing that in the shallow end of the pool. I was floating. So my feet were not touching, the bottom of the pool. So when you learn how to swim, they teach you to learn how to swim in the shallow end. Why? Because when you're having trouble, you can just stand up. Some of y'all was still doing this. All you had to do was just stand up. You thought you was drowning. Just stand up. And that's what they teach you in that shallow end. They don't teach you in the deep end like that because if you get anxious and they can't get to you, you will drown. You get in the deep water too early, right? So you had to have some time and some experience. Oh, come on. You had to spend some time relaxing and trusting that what you were instructed would work and that you would actually float. You had to believe. Oh, we getting there. We getting there. You had to have and maintain a certain posture. You had to maintain a certain position in order to float accurately, right? It takes a different kind of faith to float in the deep end than it does in the shallow end. In the shallow end, you can just stand up at any time, right? Remember that feeling that you would get? Come on, y'all. I'm gonna take y'all back. Y'all gonna be right with me. Remember that feeling? You in the shallow end, right? The water's up to your knees. You're in the shallow. And then you start walking towards the deep end. You get a little brave and you get down and the water gets up to your neck. But you ain't by the rail. And all of a sudden you start getting out there, and then all of a sudden your feet, you can't touch nothing. What do? You stop. Ooh, let me get to the edge. Right? And then you go around the edge. Remember when you was learning, you just went around the edge. That's some of y'all just going around the edge. Just gonna go around the edge like this. I'm in the deep too. I'm around the edge. I'm around it. Oh, let me put my foot down. Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm in. Woo! Right? That's what we do. By faith, that's what we're doing. Pastor is telling us and calling us to the deep end, but we're looking at it as other people in the pool that can have access to it. But he's actually talking to us. He's talking to us to get into the deep end. And he wants us to get off the rail. Y'all on the rail, Steve. I don't know. The Lord said, I don't know. I'm gonna get out here though. I'm out here though. But I'm on the rail. I ain't trusting them fully. I got my backup plan. I got my plan B. I got my escape route. I got my safety line. All right. What did he do? Let me get off topic. What did he do for Peter? There was a whole lot of disciples in the boat. Whole lot of disciples in the boat, but only one of them got out. And we talk about, Peter was drowning. He was about to fall. Peter was walking on water, y'all. Anybody in the boat did that too? No, but Peter walked a couple steps. Then the waves came, right? Then the wind blew, and then all of a sudden he started sinking. But what happened to him when he sunk, when his faith ran out? What happened to him? Jesus came immediately, the Bible says, and snatched him. And then snatched the whole boat, and it was all the way at the shore, automatically. Just storm stopped, water stopped, and they were at the shore. Read that story. It was like crazy. He's teleporting the boat. A lot of times we're scared to get out on faith and walk out because we think we're going to drown. Jesus, I'm going to tell you the newsflash, Jesus is never going to let you drown. See, you're willing to go out now if you know that you're not going to drown. My brother was a lifeguard, right? So if I went out there to swim and I was practicing, if as long as I could see him, I was comfortable in practicing because I knew that he could come get me. And so I could be out there longer, go out there farther, try a little harder because I know he was out there to get me if I started to drown. He was paying attention to me, just like God is paying attention to you. He's calling you into the deep, but some of us don't even want to go into the deep. Some of us do go into the deep, but we're holding on to the rail. We have our safety net. We have our little cord, our little floaties. Them floaties, this, look at them floaties, y'all. You really think them things is holding you up? Them little pieces of, they're only this big. They 6 inches wide. And you think they're holding your whole body up? You actually swimming. It's just a psychological thing. Oh, come on. Some of y'all, take your floaties off. All right. Let's see, where are we at? With faith, we have to believe. We have to believe. We have to believe that God will not let us drown. Just like he didn't let Peter drown. We have to believe that. We have to believe it. Where's my thing at? All right, let's keep moving. Blind faith, Abraham had blind faith. Where he left his habitation, not knowing where he was going. But at the word of the Lord, Abraham obeyed and moved. How many times God has told you to do something and then you obey immediately and move? Or do you say, I got to pray about this. I got to wait on the Lord. I got to seek the Lord on this. And he already didn't told you. You know it's him. You know it's God. And he didn't told you, but you didn't move. Abraham had blind faith. He just says, what, move now? Okay, let's go. All y'all, Lot, Sarah and all them, Pookie, Ray Ray, Cha-Cha and them, you all, come on, we gone now. Took them all with him and left. He didn't wait. Do you see in there anywhere where he said he waited? No, he did not. He left. Immediate. Just blindly just left. That's another level of faith. Sarah had faith in God's track record. Sarah didn't believe that she could have a baby. She couldn't believe God could heal her to have a baby, but she believed that God could do it because he's faithful. Some of our faith is there. We can see brother so-and-so get healed because God's track record, his word is true. He ain't going to lie, but you know, I just have a problem believing. I have a problem believing for my finances to get straight. I have a problem for my healing to come because, you know, I could pray for somebody else, you know, sister them, they call me and I pray for them and they get saved and they get healed. But, you know, but me, it don't really work for me. Because, you know, they know God is true. They know his word is true. They know his track record is right. Right? But they don't believe them for himself. Some of us are there. Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11, chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Oh, they throwing up scriptures for me. Praise the Lord back there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out. Say he went out. And not knowing where he was going. Dude just left. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his sons, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is who? God, right? So he actually died waiting for the promise to happen. Scripture actually says that, right? So we see that. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Not that she believed, but she believed because of his track record. And that's okay. That's what you're at. But we're going to move forward. We're going to go to the deep end. Let's look at what faith says. Faith, the meaning of faith means a similitude, or I'm sorry, not faith. Let's go to verse 17. Skip down. We'll go 17 through 19. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Now, that's a loaded statement. Now, God could not put the salvation plan in Genesis chapter 1. Okay, and he couldn't do that because it was a secret, right? So since it was a secret, he had to hide it. But he gave secrets to people he had relationship with. God had a relationship with Abraham. If you read, remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, God conversed with himself. Read that script, reread that, come to Sunday school. He conversed with himself and he said, shall we tell him about what we're going to do down there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Should we tell him? And him talking to himself, God, because it's three of them in one, okay? He said, I'll tell him because I know that Abraham is going to raise his children under the admonition of the Lord. So that qualified Abraham for secrets. Are you raising your children under the admonition of the Lord? Do you know that that qualifies you for secrets? Because when God talks to you, then he's not just talking to you because you're going to teach your children about the Lord. He's talking to every generation that you're touching. Oh. We so wrapped up in ourselves. Oh, Lord, heal me. Fix my fine. He's trying to heal you because he's trying to heal your generation. He's trying to save you because he's trying to save your generation. He's trying to save your whole genealogy, your whole lineage. Ah, but we worry about ourselves. Myself. Oh, come on to the deep end. Come on. Keep swimming. I'm going to let you get off the rail in a minute. But this part tripped me out because Pastor said something and it blew my mind. And I said, I had to go search it out. And I said, Lord, if I search this out, if I ever get a chance to say something before the people, I'm going to say it. Man. And guess what? I'm standing here with the microphone. Ooh, Jesus, y'all going to be blessed. I'm telling you, check this out. It's going to blow your mind. Because Abraham is the father of our faith, right? Why do you believe that? It's just because he had faith, right? Well, he said go when he left when God said go. He believed that he can have a child, right? That's not why he got saved. Abraham got saved. It was imputed unto him righteousness. He had to because he did Romans 9, 10, 9, and 10. Abraham knew about Jesus' resurrection. Some of y'all look at me crazy. Okay, the doctrine. Okay, whoa. This brother, we're past that. Record that dude quick. Pastor made that statement. He said that Abraham had to be the father of our faith, right? If he's the father of our faith, then he's the first one. They call him patriarchs. Some of you have them in your family. Some of your grandma was a patriarch. She got saved and prayed for everybody, and everybody migrated from Texas. That's what happened to my family. Migrated from Texas and moved to California, and they all stayed in her house and went to her house and then left, right? She was a patriarch. Abraham was a patriarch of our faith. He was the father of our faith. So if it was imputed unto him righteousness, what righteousness was imputed unto him? Righteousness is right standing. Right? That means I'm okay with God. My sins are forgiven. So Abraham had to do something that we do today back then in order for him to be the father of our faith. And I'm going to show you in the scripture. Right. So verse 18, it says, where do I leave off at? 18. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Keep going. Is that the New King James? Yeah, keep it there. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, right? So Abraham was about to kill his son Isaac, but he was going to do it knowing that God could raise him from the dead. Where did he get that idea from? I'm going to show you. He says, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. What does that mean? We just read right past that. In the King James, it says in a figure, in a figure. Let's look at that word figure in the Hebrew. You know what it translated? The transliteration is parabole, which is the same word that we get parable from. a similitude, parable that is a symbolic, it could be fictitious or narrative, of common life conveying a moral gem or an adage or a comparison, a figure, a parable, or proverb. So Abraham, when he went to go kill his son, knew that God would raise him up from the dead because he had reference of that. He knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. Jesus. He knew that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. So he thought that his son was going to be an example of that, that it was going to be a figure of what was to come, which was Jesus Christ. So he said, okay, you just raise him from the dead, 'cause I knew you got to come through him. So he was fully convinced, the Bible said, fully persuaded. The angel had to come catch him on the downstroke, y'all. He was coming down with the knife. He wasn't going up. Because when you go up, you can go, I don't know. No, he was already coming down, and the angel stopped him. So he had to have an example of a resurrection. Someone had to tell him about the resurrection. You know who told him? Jesus. Y'all are looking at me crazy. All right. Abraham knew of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. He was told by Jesus while Abraham was alive. Jesus knew Abraham before the man Jesus was born. Some of y'all looking at me crazy. It's going to blow your mind. Let's go to St. John. Y'all don't believe me? St. John chapter 8. Click the scriptures real slow. Don't go fast. Real slow. Go down to verse 52. Look in your Bible. I want you to look in your Bible. We're going to read this together. 52. Now, you got to know the context of this, what's going on in here. Okay, the Pharisees was mad at Jesus. They said that Jesus was casting out demons by demons. He said that Jesus was, you know, Beelzebub. And he was casting them out by the spirit of Beelzebub. Jesus was like, fool, I'm not Beelzebub. But I can't give honor to myself, because a man who gives honor to himself is not really honor. But, you know, the things that I do honor me, and my God honored me when he said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. I'm paraphrasing this chapter. OK, so he's going back and forth with the Pharisees and he's telling them this. Right. So then Jesus told him, he said, verse 52 says, then the Jews said to him, talking to Jesus, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead. Because Jesus says, whoever believes in me will not die. They will forever live. The verse right above that. And they say, well, Abraham was saved. So how come he did and you still alive? That's what they tripping. Okay. They're thinking that Abraham still should be walking around. So it says Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Okay. So they're kind of repeating what he said to them. Go ahead. Next verse. He says, are you greater than our father Abraham? That's a trick question. Whenever they ask Jesus if he's greater than somebody, Jesus answers yes, but he don't say the word yes. He just answers it yes. And you'll see what I'm saying. Who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Okay. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. Jesus straight fronted them, y'all. He just straight fronted them and called them a liar in his conversation. But I do know him and keep his word. Verse 56. Are y'all reading this? Everybody read this with me together. Everybody who can read, read this. Look up at the screen. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Next verse. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Wait. Oh, go back. So they're telling Jesus, look at me. Don't read. They're telling Jesus, Are you older than Abraham? Have you, first of all, met Abraham? You couldn't because you're not even 50 years old. We all know you're 30, right? About 33 or so. So how could you say you know Abraham and Abraham has been dead for years? So what are you saying, Jesus? And this is what Jesus said to them. It's just a powwow moment. Verse 58. Read it together. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was..." Woo! Verse 59. "Then they took up stones to throw at him." Because they said, "We know you lying now." That's the same look y'all gave me when I told you that Jesus told him. Y'all gave me that same look. Y'all, "Ooh, I don't know." They took up rocks to stone him, and Jesus disappeared. So Jesus told Abraham about his day, and he rejoiced to see in it. And if you read that in scripture and you study that, he said it past tense. So Abraham is in the Kairos, outside of Chronos, which Chronos, you're delayed. So when he died, he entered into Kairos. And so it's no longer delayed. So he already saw Jesus' day. That's why Jesus was dead and died at the foundations of the world, because that happened in Kairos. It's not delayed. Oh, that's a little over your head. But this, I thought this was Bible study. Woo. So anyways, Jesus told him that I am, which means he used the same name that all the Pharisees knew, who God said, who sent me when Moses came to go get the people out of bondage. They said, "Who? What God sent you?" Because there was a lot of gods in that time. And so they said, "Which God is the God that came for us?" And God told them, "Yahweh," which means I am, self-existing one. And that's the same name Jesus used. Oh, hallelujah. So Abraham knew of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. So he was told by Jesus while Abraham was alive. I'll say it now. Jesus knew Abraham before the man Jesus was born. Jesus tells us this in the scriptures you just read. Abraham knew of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They just didn't tell you that in Genesis, because they wouldn't have been revealing a secret, and then Satan would have never killed him. Go to Romans chapter 4. Y'all still tripping. Go ahead. I feel it. Romans chapter 4. And you're going to get out early, hopefully. Verse 16. When you get there, say, "I got it." All y'all young people, look at this. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 16, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham." Who is what? Why? Because of his faith. Because he believed in the resurrection, y'all. He had to be saved. If he wasn't saved, then you couldn't be saved. Because he believed. So if he believed, then he is saved. Does that sound like a scripture to you? We'll get there in a minute. Mr. Evangelist, he knows what I'm talking about. So it says, verse 17, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead." Why would he say that? We all know God gives life to the dead, but he says that because that means resurrection. He gives life to the dead. The dead, not somebody who is already alive or, you know, not alive and been made life, but somebody who died, he gives life to the dead. That's resurrection. Ah. "God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Your translation says, "and calleth those things which be not as though they were." So you mean to tell me that if something is dead, Christ can make it alive? And then he can make it alive in us if we believe that he can do that to us? Oh, oh, Oh. So therefore, God had to save Abraham just like he saved us, because Abraham believed in the resurrection of Christ. So much so, Abraham believed God could raise Isaac from the dead. That's why he was able to believe that, because Abraham saw Isaac's death as a parable to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 18, it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Inconsiderate faith, Pastor talked about. Already dead, since he was about 100 years old. What's dead in you? What has God called you to do that requires deep faith, and the thing looks dead? Is it your body? Is it sickness? Is it an assignment God has given you? Is it a purpose? Is it a calling? Is it what is dead in you that God made alive at one time, but now, right now, it's dead? Is your relationship dead? Is your happiness dead? Is your security in who you are in Christ dead, so you're insecure? What's dead in you? He did not waver at the promise of God, verse 20, to unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That scripture, we always read that. But what he had promised was to raise Jesus from the dead. So he believed that what God promised him, God was capable of doing it to Isaac. And being fully convinced that what he had promised to Abraham, he was also able to perform. And all we need to put in back of there is Isaac, into Isaac. So that's why he was like, I'll kill him, because I believe you. I believe in the resurrection. Oh, now it was not written for his sake alone, verse 23, that it was imputed to him, it was given to him, it was passed over to him, but also for us. Who? Oh, that's only some of y'all. For who? For who? It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who do what? Believe that he was raised up, Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. That sounds like resurrection again. So since he believed in the resurrection, it was imputed to him righteousness. He got saved because of that. And we get saved because of that too. Ah! Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. That's why Abraham is the father of faith. He believed in the resurrection first. Woo-hoo! Woo! Go to Romans chapter. Go to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Y'all don't believe me. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You're going to be fully persuaded today. Pastor told me line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what I'm doing today. Being obedient. You know, Jesus had a lot of power. You know that? Jesus had a lot of power. And sometimes we get full of power and then we think that we can control it. The Holy Spirit told me to go this way and do this, and it violated your what you told me to do. Did Jesus ever do that? But Jesus had all power. He was full of the Holy Ghost. So he could have told God, no. Did Jesus ever tell God no? The Bible says he was obedient unto what? All the way to die. He said what? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus told God to do another way. He asked God in his prayer time when he was crying blood to do another way. But then he said, I have to be obedient unto death. Not my will, but your will. Thy will be done. So when we pray, Jesus gave us the example that when we pray, what's the outline? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come in earth as it is. So what Jesus did was he did God's will that was in heaven first, and he did it in earth. So he tells us to pray that same way. Some of us are asking God to resurrect certain things, and we didn't ask it if it was God's will. Should I go back to that guy? Maybe I can get him saved. Did you ask if that was God's will, or did you just want to have a relationship with that person? Where was that? Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God did what? Resurrection. What happens? So if Abraham did that, he had to be saved. For with what? The heart one believes unto righteousness. So he believed unto righteousness with his heart, but he confessed it with his mouth. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why he said he rejoiced to see my day. He spoke it. So he made the qualifications of this scripture. He has to be saved. Waiting on God. 3 minutes. Woo. I said all that to get you to this place of faith. Mary was believing for her brother Lazarus to be healed. St. John chapter 11, I'll paraphrase. Lazarus was someone who was loved by God. Lazarus was dying. He was sick. And when the Bible says that Lazarus was sick and they told Jesus, the Bible immediately, the next scripture says that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters. So Lazarus was sick. He was not dead yet. He was made known that Lazarus was sick, and he didn't come right away. He waited. Say waited. Say waited. How many of you are waiting for something from the Lord? What does the Bible say to wait? Patiently, right? Because waiting means you believe they're coming. If you're not waiting anymore, that means, okay, I left because I thought you was coming, but you was late according to my time, so you didn't show up, so I left. How many of us did that with the Lord? I'm going to raise my hand first. Lord, I thought you was going to take me this way. I thought you was going to do this. I thought you was going to heal my marriage that went in divorce. I thought this was going to happen. I thought that was going to happen. And you didn't. And so I left. Oh, I got quiet. We real now. We ain't religious now. I left because I got tired of waiting on the Lord. But then I found that I still needed to wait. Whether I was hurt, whether I was despondent, whether I was in shambles in my own heart or my own mind, and I was going through a lot of things, I still had to wait. I got back to the church, and when I came back to the church, I told the pastor, I said, I don't want no title. I said, I just want to go to heaven. Just get me saved. And like I tell people all the time, the next thing I knew, I had a bucket in my hand, and I had a position, and it was moving up. But God did that, because I would be comfortable just sitting where you are. But not, because that's not my purpose. Now that I'm fulfilling my purpose, I understand what God took me through, and I still had to go through that same process, even though I left the waiting process. I had to go back to my place and wait. Have you ever got out of line? I left my thing in the car. Can you hold my spot? And then you run to the car, right? And you're hoping that the person's going to hold your spot. You come back. Oh, here you go, right here. You get to get back in your place. That's where God is waiting for some of y'all to come back. Some of y'all done ran off. You done went into another ventures. God bless you. You know, you were in prayer. You were an intercessor. You were coming to church regularly. You were in church. You were in Sunday school. And you were doing those things. And then God started blessing your life. And then you were waiting for certain things, but certain things didn't happen. So you got tired of waiting. And so you left. I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back from the dead. Whatever your name is, speak your name. Just say it out loud. Elder Fuller, say your name. Say your name out loud. Say it out loud. Say it loud. Like you're trying to get me to hear it. Do it one more time. Do it one more time. Because I had to do three, one for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is calling you out of the dead. Lazarus, they waited so long that the first thing Jesus makes sure you know is that when you're in your sick state or when you're in your waiting state is that he loves you. That was the next scripture. He waited for them. Mary ran to Jesus and came to Jesus with the shallow in faith. He said, Jesus, if you were to have been here, because I saw you heal people. I saw you lay hands on people and raise them from the dead. I saw you touch them and the sick and the lame walk. I saw you do it. I was there. Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus says, girl, don't you know that I'm not here to just give a resurrection, that I am the resurrection? And because he is the resurrection, that he can resurrect anything. That's why he said, I am the resurrection. So whatever you need resurrecting, Jesus can resurrect it. So say your name again. Be resurrected. Say your name again. Be resurrected. Say your name one more time. Be resurrected. Come out of those grave clothes. Unwrap yourself. Unveil yourself. Oh, I feel his spirit in his place. So we see here that Jesus came and he waited until she was stinking dead. Now, I have a great familiarity with that. I've been around bodies that's been 3-4 a month dead. Investigating crimes. And they stink. Their bodies change through decomposition. Bugs start eating the body. Inside to out. It turns green with the bacteria. First the stomach and the intestines first. And it turns real green. And then it'll turn purple. And I always laugh at everybody because I said, you know, there's really no nationality because we all turn black in the end. Your skin gets translucent and the blood in your body actually turns black. What color does your scab turn? No matter what color you are. Ah. And so God is calling your dead soul back. Your commitment back. He's calling you back to that place with him again. That assignment back. The thing that you left because of a man who broke your heart. And you decided not to come back anymore because you thought that that was the thing to do. God is calling you back, girl. That feeling you get when you're in the ocean and you're walking in the surf and the water is up to your neck. And then you feel the seafloor leave you as you float and tread in the water up to your neck. When you come to the end of your ability to fix the problem and you have to rely on the God of the resurrection, then it's time for God to come and resurrect you. God waited till he was dead and stinking dead. He didn't come when he was sick because there's really no glory in that. He already healed a lot of sick people. But he was about to go to the cross and he was about to demonstrate the resurrection before he resurrected himself. So he had to show people the resurrection because what is it that you need to believe in order to be connected to Abraham? The resurrection. You have to believe in the resurrection. Call out to him because he is near. When Peter started going in the water, he called out to Jesus and Jesus came immediately. Don't be afraid of going to the deep end. God will meet you there, even if your faith fails. Key point, Jesus can resurrect anything because he is the manufacturer of all things. St. John chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm about to close. St. John chapter 1, verse 3. It says all things were made through him. All things. Some things. Good things. Perfect things. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So the manufacturer of you, the manufacturer of your life, that's why he is the author and finisher of your faith, because he manufactured your purpose. He manufactured you for your purpose. And he's resurrecting purposes today. I'm just going to read this last scripture and then I'm going to pray. St. John 11, verse 24 through 26. Write that down. St. John chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. For those of you MP. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Some people are going through some very healing challenges. They don't think that God heals anymore today. You think that God's going to heal on the resurrection day, but you don't know that Jesus is healing today. You saw me jumping around in here. Some of you know my testimony. But on August 13th, I had a stroke, a TIA stroke, which is not that bad. On August 14th, the next day, I was supposed to leave. And as I was leaving the hospital and they were getting me ready, I had a full stroke. I was incapacitated. I was fully aware of what was going on around me. And as I was looking, I could sense and hear everything. And the only thing that came to my mind to do in my spirit was to call out the name Jesus. I just call out the name Jesus. They took me from where I was at and they put me on my bed, because I wasn't on my bed. So just let you know, I was in an incapacitated state. And put me on my bed. And then the Lord healed me immediately. Oh, you can give him glory for that. Now, they wheeled me into ICU because I was in the regular, you know, room. They wheeled me into ICU. And as I was going up to ICU, this lady was crying right by my ear. And I started ministering to her. And she got saved. I prayed for her. And she gave her life to the Lord. She got healed. Her situation got changed right after my stroke. Pastor came into the room. Fuller, what are you doing? I said, Pastor, if I'm leaving, I'm taking one more with me. I didn't really have a concept of what that stroke was. But the stroke was here. And before I got to there, God was working some things out in me. And I was going through my body. I wasn't a good steward over it. Doing all these different things, right? Not taking care of my body. Black folks, take care of your body. Be careful what you put in, because it could kill you. So I'm sitting there, and I'm on this side of the stroke. On this side of the stroke, it's a test. On this side of the stroke, it's a testimony. Because I'm totally healed. Totally healed. Totally healed. I didn't realize what that meant about strokes. I didn't know very much about that. Because usually with strokes, people were dead. Now we get there and they would be dead. So 2 months after that happened, one of my students had a stroke in May. Just one. He came to the campus and he was looking for a job. He came in there with a cane, and he was 26 years old, and he was shivering like an old person about to pass out. And he had one stroke, and that was in May, and he was still trying to recover. The Lord told me, this is why the doctors look at you crazy every time you go in there, because you're supposed to look like him. He said, but I healed you. When I was sitting there in that bed, I was praying, and I just I couldn't even pray a prayer with words. And some of y'all know I can pray. All I could say was Jesus. And he healed me immediately. Immediately. I'm a reporter today. I come to tell you that Jesus is still healing. He is still delivering. And he can resurrect your situation. He can heal your situation right now. Those of you who have your hands lifted, Lord,
God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jaronconeill.com. That's JarronConeill.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.